Is a romantic relationship with artificial intelligence artificial romance or something else? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. This month, we're looking back at a movie that came out 10 years ago, but feels very current. 2013's Her depicts a lonely divorcee played by Joaquin Phoenix, who falls in love with something like an artificial intelligence chatbot voiced by Scarlett Johansson. Marco Dennert is a communications doctoral candidate at Arizona State University who studies relationships between humans and machines, which he says are becoming more common as AI advances.
Let's start off with apps and chatbots and stuff like this. It's like a very famous example called Replica. It's basically just an app you download on your smartphone, and then you can just text with it. And Replica is meant to replicate yourself, but she's you know, characterized or portrayed as a girl. Can also be your girlfriend and a sexual partner, your romantic partner. And the ways in which people have used that is, you know, as maybe like a private diary if they want to just keep things to themselves, or actually just as someone to chat with late at night, to have like a romantic engagement that kind of builds over the course of like months or even years. And it's been really interesting, especially in the case of Replica.
I mean, in your research, do you have a sense as to, you know, whether people are engaging with this like they engage with a human partner? Is there a sense of kind of like knowledge that this is a synthetic technology that doesn't have feelings? Like, what does it kind of look like?
That's a really common question. And I say that in most cases of, you know, what I see when I speak to users or other research that's out there is that people are quite aware that it's not a human person and they don't miss the human component. It's actually why they're turning to those technologies, because they might not want to engage with a human, or because human conversation partners are asleep at 3 a.m. and they want to talk to someone who's available, right? So they're not necessarily delusional in that they don't know it's a human person. It's not a human person. It's mostly just that they look for something else or someone else to talk to.
Right. And I guess the question that always comes up with these kinds of relationships is, are they healthy?
Yes, very big question, right? And like, especially during COVID-19 and things like this, people were saying that, oh, technology allows us to, you know, connect with people across the world, and that allows us to not be so lonely. And then people are making that comparison with like those types of technologies. What if we only turn to technology, only to AI chatbots and things like this? Are we going to be just like people sitting in our rooms isolated and alone, but we're talking to like 10 chatbots at the same time, right? So that's, I think there's some sort of balance that we need to strike, like we as users and researchers and those designers building those systems, to figure out like what actually is healthy, because maybe it is better to have some form of conversation, some form of relationship, even if it is quote unquote with just a AI girlfriend or something like that, than to have no one to talk to. Right? Because we are seeing lots of people reporting that they're lonely, they have less than one friend or anything like this. And that's definitely something that's, you know, happening to us.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the kind of negative characterizations come when we start sort of thinking about substituting for real in-person relationships. But is there evidence that that is actually happening?
I think for a minority users that are already doing this, absolutely, right? We have those things called early adopters who are probably, you know, doing this a lot. I think for the vast majority, this will just be another type of relationship that we'll have like in the social world around us. So I don't think that this will be like, you know, the type of relationship where everyone in 5, 10, 20 years will only have those types of relationships. I think, you know, it will grow over the course of the next few years, that's for sure. And so will like the social acceptance of those relationships. But I hardly believe those will, you know, replace existing human-human relationships in like the long run or for the vast majority.
Does there still seem to be a fair amount of stigma around this kind of activity?
Yeah, I would even go further and say it's probably a big amount of stigma, not just a fair amount of stigma. People are saying that, oh, it, you know, only people who are not successful with humans would turn to this, or only quote unquote, you know, relational losers would do these types of stuff. Because otherwise, why would they turn to a technology if they are successful in life? But what I'm seeing and what other people who are doing this work are also seeing is that it's actually just across you know, the society, people are using this technology regardless of like job or social connection or friendships and things like this. Like, it's a much more diverse population than this initial stigma kind of suggests. That's for sure.
Replica ran into some data privacy issues in Italy earlier this year that caused some changes to be made to the system that, judging by some comments out on the internet, seem to have been pretty devastating for some users.
Absolutely. And I mean, you know, imagine this, like you've been chatting with this entity for, you know, sometimes a few months, sometimes a couple of years or longer, and then all of a sudden, basically overnight, it kind of doesn't remember key moments of that relationship. That is really something significant that's being taken away from you. And that's the big problem, right? Because it's not just the AI girlfriend or the replica partner and the human user that's part of the relationship. There's also a third party, and that is usually the company behind it, right? And there's like lots of things going on there with like legislation and regulation, you know, proprietary algorithms on the back end, data protection, you know, protecting minors and stuff. And that was basically what led to Replica shutting off some of those features because the government of Italy asked them to enhance the protection of minors and data protection. And they were like, we can't do that in the time frame given, so we have to shut that off. And that's clearly something we don't see with, you know, human-to-human relationships. You can't just shut that off.
We've been looking back at the movie Her, which came out 10 years ago and obviously has a lot of resonance mm-hmm. with what we are talking about. What do you make of that movie kind of in light of how this has developed in seemingly a very similar way?
I mean, that's kind of the most amazing case for like a science fiction piece, right? Like if all the predictions kind of turn out to be happening a few years later, that's really exciting. So for me, like as someone who studies this, that's really interesting to look at that science fiction case. I always think back to like the opening sequence and like the first part of the movie where like Theodore, the main character, is writing those personal notes to other or for other people. And I think that's a really interesting kind of like symbol for how relationships have already changed, right? Like in the movie, people are outsourcing like a lot of that intimate labor of like saying thank you or writing like specific cards to basically someone else, like a service agency, right? And that might just be kind of like indicative of what we're moving towards, where we're already outsourcing many parts of our relationships to other kind of entities that we pay for. And then also what really strikes, you know, a chord with me is kind of like towards the end of the movie when Theodore realizes that Samantha, his like voice assistant lover slash partner, has been in a relationship with like 8,000 or something like that other people, right? That's like a really like heartbreaking moment for like the main character, because he kind of operated under the assumption that that was like an exclusive or unique experience for him, and that for sure didn't turn out to be true.
Right. So engaging in a relationship from a human perspective with technology is always going to be kind of ripe with the pitfalls of it being a different entity than a human.
I guess. I mean, it kind of also goes to show like what types of like understandings or assumptions people have about romantic relationships. Relationships are changing like in their own right, like how people are relating to other people, but also because of technology, like how technology is changing those types of relationships. And then the question is, I think not so much like, is that a good or a bad development? The question is mostly just about, how are we reacting to that development? Like, what is that doing to people? And we just don't know enough just yet to kind of say this is only bad or only good for human relationships. I think that usually, you know, those types of situations, the truth is somewhere in between.
Marco Dennert at Arizona State University. Replica isn't the only service like this around, though it's one of the better known ones. There's a whole universe of what are often called virtual girlfriend apps, like Karen AI, a voice chatbot clone of a real-life Snapchat influencer. She said in a tweet, she, quote, worked with the world's leading psychologists to seamlessly add CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, to chats to help cure loneliness. The team behind Replica also recently released a new app, Blush, made specifically for virtual dating and sex. The makers say it can help users build relationship and intimacy skills that will help them in real life. CEO Eugenia Quida said relationships with AI like this could soon become more normalized, similar to the transformation in attitudes we've seen around online dating. And you can continue this conversation with Marketplace's Econ Extra Credit newsletter, which comes out every Monday. Marketplace Tech is taking over that newsletter all month to examine the movie Her and how it resonates in our current AI moment. You can read the latest issue and sign up at marketplace.org/newsletters. You can also check out the other episodes in this series at our website, marketplacetech.org. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. Jesus Alvarado and Daniel Shin also produce our show. Becca Weinman is our engineer. Daisy Palacios is the interim senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.